This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay-ass accent, them cheap-ass cigars, your yuck-mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Welcome to the Click Nation Podcast. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And in the house tonight, the virtual house, I have my brother, D. Adam Black.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I just vacuumed the virtual house and it's looking pretty nice.
You can come and sweep my virtual hardwood floors anytime. And also joined by Mr. Banff.
Evening, bitches, and I have just Febrezed the virtual house. Fresh, I tell you, fresh.
And Leroy Jetstream will be joining us in a little bit once he gets out of class. And as always, well, not always, but lately, we are joined by Brandy from BLR Productions.
What it do, pimps? I'm sitting here enjoying the freshness of the pine saw from this clean house.
Yes.
Everyone's doing some cleaning.
Yes.
And
that's fresh, dude.
Exactly. Gotta keep the place nice for the ladies.
Yeah. For the ladies.
And Brandy.
So I'm not a lady.
Okay. I'm just saying.
You're a lady and my Brandy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Someone shows up.
Group hug, and group hug for everybody.
That's right, bitches. I just got points. Fuck y'all.
And we, like I said, we are the Click Nation Podcast. Make sure to check us out on our website, theclicknation.com. Follow us on Twitter. Our group account is at theclicknation. My personal Twitter account is at timdogg98. As I pause for everyone to do theirs.
Oh, yeah. Mine is MISTABAMF. And I've actually been tweeting a lot lately.
Very proud of you.
Thank you. I'll try, goddammit.
My Twitter is at @the_Adam_Black on Twitter. And it's been a couple weeks since I've tweeted. So I'll try and get back into the swing of things.
And you can follow me at @BLR_Productions. And follow me to see how often I tweet. You'll be in for a surprise.
And Instagram.
Yeah, that's my thing.
And we have a Facebook fan page that you can go and like. It's facebook.com/TheClickNation. Got a YouTube account, youtube.com/TheClickNation. We are also on Google Plus. And make sure to follow us and subscribe and like and share us on Stitcher Radio and also iTunes. And if you ever feel like leaving us some feedback, you can do that by emailing us, theclicknation@gmail.com. And tonight's episode is going to be a little special because it's going to be a joint venture with the General Geekery podcast. We're going to be joining them in a little while. But first, to start our show off, we're going to get our reality check-in. And then we're going to take a break. And when we come back from after the break, we're going to be doing the tag team podcast with General Geekery. So that should be a little fun.
Woo-hoo.
But hopefully, Leroy Jetstream will be in attendance by the time we jump to that part of the show. But for now, we are going to get into Brandy's reality check.
My reality check, everyone, this is actually the very last one of, I guess, my first season with Love & Hip Hop ATL. Yesterday's show actually was titled Breakups, No Makeups, as the season finale.
I got a question already.
Shoot.
Did you name it that, or is that like the name they give it?
No, that's the official name of the episode.
Okay.
I do's my homework. Thank you.
Yes.
But pretty much VH1 remains constant by being America's favorite network to allow black people to air their dirty laundry. If you happen to be a sucker for Love and you're on Team Black Love, this was not an episode for you, because basically the entire Love & Hip Hop ATL crew was all about the breakups and no makeups. There was no one walked away, except for Rashida. She renewed her vows, but that's all I'm going to say about that. No one else walked away holding hands or in a happy scenario as far as Love is concerned. I guess you could say it just ended with hip hop.
Just hip hop, no love.
Exactly, no love in ATL.
No ATL involved anymore.
Was it actually good hip hop?
There's a viewer's discretion.
There's no hip hop on that show.
Stevie, you don't like Stevie J's hits?
Man, there's a lot of hip not. I don't know about hip hop.
Exactly.
I actually watched it. Well, bits and pieces of it last night, so
I have opinions. Yeah, you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and admit it.
I'm mad I missed the part twice, because I watched it the first time, and then I caught some of the replay the second time, and I missed a certain section both times, but I'll wait till you get to that.
Which part was that?
I saw everyone tweeting about Roscoe Dash, and I never saw him.
Yeah, Roscoe Dash. R-O-S-C-O-E. I guess Carly is like determined to be the poster child for all 40-year-old breakout artists. So she set up a little meeting with Roscoe Dash to see if he can get into the studio together so that she can work on her quote unquote music. That's like the theme for everybody. Everybody's working on music that we probably will never hear. The whole time she met up with Roscoe at this little restaurant in the Buckhead area, she was like, the whole time she was flirting and being real sexually suggestive with the dude. I mean, come on, she's 40. That's all she got to do. She really has no vocal talent. She claims she's a rapper. She hasn't really done much on the show to prove that she got skills. And I think it's obvious that she realized that Benzino's name carries like little to no weight in the industry. So she had to do whatever she had to do to get in where she fit in. And apparently in her book, Roscoe Dash is a little hotter commodity than Benzino is. So
she's the one, the chick that's with Benzino is the one trying to get with Roscoe Dash?
Yes.
Isn't Roscoe Dash like 18?
Exactly. She's like, she went from like dust in the grave to robbing a cradle. I mean, she's clearly an extremist.
I mean, what, Roscoe Dash? That's your big fucking plan? That's, to become
that's
hot?
That's her plan. But then again, you got to remember, who else is going to actually agree to be on Love & Hip Hop ATL?
Then someone that isn't, their career is not in the...
Did he actually speak on the show?
I mean, he did a little flirting back with her. That's about it. He didn't have a highlight part where we figured out, or he had a chance to tell everyone who he was. So it's like, if you know him, great. If you don't, he's just this 17-year-old boy who Carly Rae is trying to...
Did they show how they met, like they did with Benzino?
No, they just met up at the restaurant. It was supposed to be a business meeting, but it ended up being like...
Went from business flirting to pleasure.
Yeah, so it was one of those things. It was kind of whack. I mean, it's Carly Red. What do you expect?
I mean, the whole thing with her, me, and Benzino in the parking lot was whack, too, so.
As I'm saying, it's Carly Red. What can you expect? Speaking of Benzino, his punk ass caused himself, well, I'm going to say he accidentally handed Carly her ass on a silver platter. Because what he intended to do was propose to her, but he ended up proposing and then taking a ring right back.
I missed that part, too. I saw the after effect, aftermath.
Oh, you saw the part where she was, like, sitting there eating in a restaurant by herself or whatever.
Well, I saw Dad, well, I guess Dad, and I saw her, like, doing the part where she's talking to the screen and calling him, like, a punk bitch and all this other
stuff. Yes, I don't think she expected that scene to play out the way it did either. I think it was a shock for both of them, really.
So explain exactly how that happened.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it was a shock for both of them because Benzino... he seemed to be mad serious when he pulled the ring out of his pocket and was like, look, lately you've been questioning my love for you, so if you don't believe what comes out of my mouth, maybe this will show you that I'm for real, I'm in this to win this. Mm-hmm. And she looked at the ring and was just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you ain't ready. And she was just, like, pretty much doubting the relationship. And Benzino had a little hurt look on his face, like, oh, it was sad seeing a man with no neck and look with his feelings hurt. I was like, wow. But
so that's why he pulled the ring back, because she was dogging him.
Right, because she was doubting the relationship or the love that they had or he had for her. So he flipped the script. He did a good job. He flipped the script real quick. He gathered himself together after those 5 seconds. It was like, you're right. I'm not ready. He took the ring back, got up, and walked off.
I was going. Basically, I was just reading my timeline while it was happening. Everyone made it seem like Benzino was a punk for, like, waving the ring in front of her and then pulling it back. But now it sounds like he was in the right.
Yeah, I think he was just. He did good. He, like, did a quick change. He had to save. He had to at least walk off with some type of dignity.
Yeah, because, I mean, he pulled the ring, guys. He's the one, like, oh, well, I still don't like you. So what else he supposed to do?
Yeah, so it made for a good scene where Carly got her ass handed to her. And Benzino, because the whole show, he's been looking like a punk-ass nigga. And he actually got one ball back on the finale. Not both, just one.
Okay. Just one.
Just one. This one.
Well, at least he get to take the ring back, get his money back, so, you know.
If he even bought it, but,
you know. Exactly.
True. It might have been furnished by VH1. You never know.
Exactly. Let's see. What else? Who else? Oh, speaking of funny characters, Shay had a scene in the finale, and she tried to show a more sensitive side by admitting to Scrappy that she had actually fallen for him and how much it broke her heart to hear him admit that he still had love for Erica, even though he and Erica agreed early in the scene prior that they were going to go their separate ways and they weren't going to be together. Boo-hoo, whatever. She teared up. She cried. The whole time, I was trying hard to sympathize with this girl because I'm just like, you know, it hurts me when another girl feels like she's being pained by another dude. But for the life of me, I could not sympathize with a girl because I could not get past the fact that she literally has an overbite and an underbite at the same time. It's like, wow. Like, how the hell do you get that? She definitely should have went out for the lead video in Future's Same Damn Town video. Like, dang, that is one of a kind.
Interesting.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't get over that. I'm like, because the whole time I've been telling y'all she looks weird, something ain't right about her, and I figured it out. Hmm. She is walking around with an over and under bright. Get it, Shay. Yeah.
God damn.
I already mentioned Rashida. She's boring anyway, but in her quest for trying to get into the mainstreamness of the industry, her relationship with her husband / manager had been falling by the wayside, so they decided to renew their vows since it was their 12th anniversary. They showed that I forgot all about that was even going to happen. So it was a surprise to me. It was kind of boring. I decided to get up and fix myself something to eat around that scene. So I really can't tell you what went down. I do know that, speaking of Twitter, Tim, I'm sure you've seen the fact that Twitter has pretty much been going bananas ever since this show started, claiming that K. Michelle has been lying about Memphis beating her ass back in the day.
About who?
Toya Carter's
manager,
Carter's producer, husband, guy.
Is that a guy or a girl?
He's a guy.
Memphis is a dude that dated K. Michelle back in the day. She claimed that he used to beat her ass. He's now married to Lil Wayne's ex baby mama, whatever the hell. And, you know, he's been denying that shit. So now it's come out that she actually has been bullshitting us all along.
Oh.
Right.
So, and which chick is this, K-Michelle?
K-Michelle.
Okay.
And actually, over the weekend, a couple of urban blogs have posted a comment made by Rashida saying how K. Michelle, a.k.a. Fake Michelle, is a hypocrite by standing on her soapbox claiming to be the spokesperson for all battered women in one scene, and in all the other scenes of the show, she's threatening to whip a bitch ass. Like, that doesn't connect, that doesn't work, and she's pretty much calling her out, saying she's foul and nobody should even hear, let alone listen to what she's talking about. So since all that's been going on, VH1 decided to end their little scene with K. Michelle actually confronting Rashida and asking her to speak on her questioning if Memphis really did it. Because she actually did have a conversation with K. Michelle the week prior, and K. Michelle poured her heart out. It was like, that man beat my ass. He did this. He did that. And I guess she was really looking for some sympathy. And when it was Rashida's turn to talk, she pretty much came out and was like, well, did he really do it? So, of course, she was pissed off, and she wanted to confront her and ask her why she did it. Rashida pretty much was like, I've known you for like a hot second, but I've known him for damn near a hot minute. And I feel like a minute lasts longer than a second. I know him a little bit longer, a little bit better, and the man that I know wouldn't do that shit. So she got all upset, and she pretty much stormed off and walked off in the fog, too, kind of like Stevie J does at the end of his scenes.
So she is as crazy as everyone kept saying
pretty
that
much.
She was.
She pretty much. With that, her story, let's just say K. Michelle is the only one that believes her story. Like, nobody else believes it. Whether you're on the show, you're watching the show, nobody else believes this story.
Wow.
Yeah, that was kind of sad. Speaking of funny faces, everybody's favorite character, I know he holds the crown as my favorite character in the show, and that's Stevie J. Stevie J, the evil rat king himself, ended the show with his last therapy session with Mimi and Jocelyn. The past two sessions, he's been pretty much playing low-key, keeping quiet, letting the women fight over him, and they doing all the talking and bad-mouthing and bashing, all that stuff. But this time, he has something to say, and he let it be known that, quote, he is the king of the come-up bus. And that anybody riding with him are merely passengers, depending on him to take them to the next level. As the king, he controls who gets on and who gets off, literally, figuratively, and sexually, and in that order. So
he said that?
I paraphrased a little bit, but he said that.
So. And he made a bunch of faces.
Lots of faces. Oh, my gosh. I mean,
no, excuse me, a lot of sneers.
He did the sneering. He did the word. I know you felt like that. He did the. He did the. Come on, baby. Not me. I wouldn't do that like that. See, I love you. He went through all of his phases like in one scene. So if this is your first episode, first time ever watching this, you got the complete package of Stevie J and all of his phases.
Stevie J, the complete series.
It was hilarious. I think even the counselor was looking like, damn, like, dang, dude, how many more you got back there? It was just hilarious. Mimi stepped up her acting chops and kind of pulled off a little Poof Be Gone thing. That was slightly believable. I think he even caught Stevie off guard for a second, because that's when he had, it was like an obvious war going on with his double personality. It's like one side was like, baby, don't go. And then the other side was like, bitch, I kill you. It was just,
bitch, I kill you.
It was hilarious watching him flip back.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like how he flipped at the end. Once he knew that she wasn't going to put up with his stuff anymore.
Yeah, that's what he like flipped the script. You would think once she made it known that I'm done with you, she spelled it out in plain English for him. You would think he would really go hard with the baby don't go act, but he was like, bitch, I'll kill you. You walk out on me like I made you. So that was kind of like weird, but hey, I don't believe Mimi really left, but she did a good job of convincing us that she was trying to, at least.
She left to go with Roscoe, right?
You just got the characters mixed up.
Wait, I thought she was the one that...
No. Mimi is Stevie's baby mom, the latest one.
Oh, okay.
And Carly is the stupid hoe.
Who was Carly with? At
Carly's Benzino and Roscoe Dasher, apparently.
Okay. Yes. Right.
There you go.
Both those chicks old, though, right?
Yeah.
Mimi's
still old. It is funny because everybody knows Nicki Minaj's song, Stupid Ho, right?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I had this thing last week where I feel like each character gets crowned with the Stupid Ho remix. Last week, Mimi was the Stupid Ho remix. And this week, Carly Red is the Stupid Ho remix.
Damn.
Last but not least is y'all favorite, Jose, a.k.a. Jocelyn.
Jose!
She was funny as hell last night, too. I mean, it was clear that she is well-known with Stevie's character as a hoe, and she's perfectly fine with it. That's how she came off in her therapy session. And to prove it, she even admitted to watching him have sex with her best friend in her bed. She was proud of that moment.
I heard that quote.
I guess that was her way of saying, that's how platinum bus riders ride, I guess. I don't know. But
platinum bus riders?
What? You know, since Stevie came up in, Stevie started the session saying how he is the king of on the come up bus and everybody else is a writer. So after he made that statement, Jocelyn admitted that she knows how he acts, and she's perfectly fine with it. So she pulled out her platinum bus card to show Mimi that I'm good, I'm still on the bus, whether you want to stay here or not. How I saw it. Yeah, she's ride or die or whatever. She was getting a little loud. She got a little confident. She was proud of how far she's come up from the two blocks down the street that housed the strip club that she used to work in. She was proud of that, and I guess Stevie had to show her that she's not the only horse in the stable, because the next time Jocelyn showed up in the studio that next day, he had another he-she in the studio, and he was feeling all up on her or whatever, and Jocelyn didn't really take too kindly to that.
Oh, I did catch a clip of that. That chick... I'm not sure.
I don't know. She looks so familiar. I think she was on like a Flavor of Love or something like that. I'm not sure yet, but... she's hideous. Like, we thought Jose was a man. I mean, this one. I'm curious to know what her name is. I'm thinking it's like Ben or something.
Benny.
Yeah. She definitely, she's not too female. She's not too But that's the wrap up of it. That's pretty much the meat and potatoes of last night's episode. It was interesting. I liked it.
Yeah, it was. Even though there was no fisticuffs, no paws being put on anyone, it was still entertaining.
I think the bear got declawed after his last paw fight.
So what we can take from this whole Love and Hip Hop Atlanta thing is that Stevie J. like them strong jaw chicks. Okay.
That's exactly what I have on my last liner. Like, that's what he likes. He likes the strong jaw.
The strong, He like them strong jaw chicks, man. Yeah.
You forgot the vignettes at the end where everyone got to say their piece, and Jocelyn was like talking about how she's so blessed to be performing on stage, and they showed her actually performing in some small building.
Yeah, they did their best to show her performing.
She's like got sold out crowds, you know.
Yeah, I think
her.
It was just an appearance, a club appearance that happened.
Jose!
It looked like it was probably a club appearance that just happened to have a band prior, and they left the instruments on stage, so she got up there, grabbed the mic, and I think that she's actually holding it down Atlanta. I know, I've never seen her highlighted as a featured artist anywhere. I mean, she don't even have a track circulating the airwaves, so whatever.
I did see Trey Songz' new Hail Mary video, and Stevie J and Jose are actually in the video.
They have a cameo appearance. That is right.
Yeah, I was like, wow, you know, Jose and Stevie J doing big things. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're still together. I mean, I must say, I haven't heard any music from them too, but I definitely see them on the blogs. They're out on the scene. I've actually run into Stevie J. I think it was a couple of weeks ago. And people were whispering that Jocelyn was outside. I didn't see her, but they're running this town, I guess, together. They're in it to win it.
So, and like you said, that since it's the season finale, no more Love and Hip Hop talk, at least until whenever they decide to pick this thing back up. Well, maybe at the end of the fall or sometime next year, whenever it is.
Yeah, they got to give them a chance to collect the next poor set of black people.
But you will be joining us once the basketball-wise franchise starts back up.
Yeah, I think the start date is September 8th, if I'm not mistaken. So I'll be back.
So go ahead and plug your sites and business before you leave us tonight.
I am your girl, Brandy. I am a graphic designer, head honcho at BLR Productions. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com. Either my personal page is Brandis R, or my business page, which is / BLR Productions Design Agency. And you can find me on Twitter at BLR_Productions.
So thank you for joining us for this season of Love and Hip Hop and your Reality Check segment. All the fans love listening to you on the show. We're gonna give them more to listen to in September. So I guess I'll let you go.
All right. Peace, y'all.
Later.
Later.
Bye.
And before we go to break, I have some news to break that I forgot to do at the beginning of the show. The Click Nation podcast is now a part of the Comic Related Podcasting Network. And it's basically a network where they promote different podcasts on their website. Hopefully we get a little bit extra exposure from the group. But if you want to check out their website, it's comicrelated.com. And they also have a Twitter account that you can follow at Comic Related. And they have nice blogs and reviews and columns and news on comic books and gaming. And actually, that's related resources. I'm checking out the website now. But mostly, of course, it's in the name comics, so they mostly discuss comic book business. So check them out and check us out. Check us out on their Comic Related CR Podcaster Network. So when we come back, we'll be doing the General Geekery Show, and hopefully Mr. Leroy Jetstream will be on the show as well. So sit back, relax, listen to some more Corticon as we go to break.
I'm an action figure addict as I suffer with more boxes in my attic.
Corticon.
What do you fathom? I'm a fanatic, and they stand too tall in the detour. Action poses numb cause you cough and they topple over. Cause they like to do the end of toy, but it's over.
Corticon.
Now we on to the Hasbro. Warriors and not a Hasbro.
Playing all the when we playing, and we hoping that they doing the legends right. Push play on the Click Nation. In the background, EDP. Codes for the pod, TBG, WT, General Motherfucking Geekery. You can listen at the Stitcher rap, while Eclectic ask you 1,000 raps. The Adam Black is back to recap the news, and that's a fact. I'ma turn these podcasts up and listen. In my kitchen, shitting in my bathroom stall, I'ma listen to each and every one of them all. Tim Dog 98, we'll fuck your timeline up and set them straight. Mr. Bamps, talking about reels with tape, the good, the bad, and the ones he hate. Classic Materia is down to watch some Ray Mysteria. They all hail from ATL area, so if you see them, act scared of shit. I'ma turn these podcasts up and listen. In my kitchen, shitting in my bathroom stall, I'ma listen to each and every one of them all.
Evening, bitches, and welcome to the General Geekery Podcast, episode number 30, featuring the mighty Click Nation.
That's right, episode 30. Who knew we would get this far? And to celebrate that, we have some of our longtime favorite guests and listeners. JD?
Yes, I've been trying to coordinate with Tim Dog to get his whole crew on the show for, oh, I don't know, Tim, it's been, what, a month and a half we've been talking about this?
At least the spring, it seems like.
Yeah, we're like, oh, by the end of the summer, and I'm like, oh, crap, it really is the end of the summer, damn.
Oh, yeah, I did say the end of the summer, didn't I? And I guess I did.
But, yes, Click Nation, welcome to General Geekery. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
Yes. Yeah, nice place you got here. I like it.
folks, if I sound a little better than I usually do, it's because I'm on my phone, because I discovered that my microphone is so bad that my phone is better. That's sad.
However, that's sad. So that you can hear crickets in the background. So, hey, you know.
Well, that's because I'm outside. If I sit inside on the phone on Skype, I don't get a very good signal. I know it sounds like I live out in the middle of nowhere, but no, the problem is I have T-Mobile. So, their customer service is amazing, but boy, their service is spotty at best. So. But, you know, such is life. Because I'm like, I could switch cell phone companies, but that's $200 I don't have, so.
You make a good point.
But, all right, so welcome to General Geekery. We have no idea what the plan here is. How are you guys doing?
We can't complain, man.
We didn't have much I didn't know we were podcasting until JD says, hey, you want to podcast tonight? I said,
So that's because I heard back from Tim Dog. I'm like, oh, score, he can do it. So
yeah, we made it work.
It's like, oh, you're podcasting tonight? What the fuck not?
Yeah, exactly.
Sure, goddammit, sure.
Yeah, normally we do it. We start off with news, and you know, we just had a podcast not too long ago. So about the only thing newsworthy that I have, you know, neither JD and I are gamers, but if there was one game that was going to make me a gamer, it came out today, and that is Transformers: Fall of Cybertron.
That, oh, okay,
amazing.
That game looks fucking amazing.
I have a Google Chrome tab window open with G4's review of it that I said I was going to read later on. I need to... supposedly they gave it a good review, so I just want to read what they said about it sometime later tonight. I'm sure it's a long review. I was just going to read it in my free time just to see what they said about it. Actually, they wrote stuff down in the pros and cons, so I guess I can read that real quick.
Yeah, go for it, because I'd like to hear about it. Because the only game that I play, if you can call it a game, is Plants vs. Zombies. So, not a gamer either, just the only game that I have any skill to play. So, yeah.
I'm trying to become a better gamer. Before we got on earlier, I was playing the MLB baseball game and trying to lose, but thankfully I won. But anyway, back to Transformers Fall of Cybertron. This is from G4TV.com. Their pros: exceptional campaign with great variety and set piece moments, top notch voice cast and character driven writing, great multiplayer with expanded character creation. Escalation is still one of the best horde mode variations in the medium. And their cons: campaign co-op is MIA and limited to map-specific characters and escalation. It doesn't really tell me too much, because...
I don't know what
all that stuff means.
I'm the only one that's in the dark here, because they were using a bunch of terms that suddenly sounded like a foreign language to me.
Mr. Bapp just said it. Yeah, if I played the first game, I'd know what some of the stuff meant.
All right. That's true. That is also a good point. I never heard of the other game until a couple of months ago, and the reason I heard about the first game is because everybody was talking about this one. And this game does look fucking awesome.
Well, and the only reason I know about it is because of the toys that came out for the San Diego Comic-Con.
Just about how things usually are. I never heard of the Halo games until McFarlane started putting out toys based on it. So,
oh man.
And I never heard of Assassin's Creed until GameStar's started putting out action figures for that. So, yeah, whenever there's toys based on a video game, I feel like I'm in the know. Otherwise, ignorant, completely ignorant.
Well, we should admit that.
So yeah, that's the War on Cybertron review. Quick review from G4. I'll probably, unless it's like after it's been out a couple months and discounted to maybe like $25, be the only time I probably actually buy it if I do it all.
When it becomes a hit.
Which systems is Fall of Cybertron on?
It's on the 360, PS3, and PC. And they actually gave it a 4.5 out of 5 rating.
Oh, damn.
Yes. Yeah, I got to save my money for Madden and NBA 2K when they come out. I try to stick to the sports games. Even though I did just get the Game of the Year edition of Batman Arkham City on 360. Still haven't opened it yet.
Yeah, I hear that's quite good, too.
I have a coworker's copy of Arkham Asylum, which I still haven't beaten, so... gives a good example of my video game playing. I've had that game, his game, for about 2 years now, and I still haven't beat it.
Oh wow! You might want to get us back.
Yeah, I'm thinking about just giving it back to him because I'm never probably going to beat it.
Right.
And I heard I can just play the Arkham City by itself because it's kind of a standalone game.
You should do that. Yeah, just get that man his game back. Start on Arkham City. Yeah.
No, please, at this point, he probably went and bought another copy of it, figuring he couldn't remember what he did with it, and it got lost.
I mean, he buys games, like, whenever new games come out, he buys them anyway, so I'm sure he's not missing it.
Oh, yeah, by this point, he would have sold it back to GameStop anyway, so you're safe.
Yeah, I think I'll take it in to work tomorrow.
or you could take it to GameStop.
I'm not going to sell that man's game.
That's not silly.
I should just give him a 20 and say, "Can I just buy it from you now?"
That might be.
No, no. He doesn't listen to this. Don't worry about it. He don't even know what it is.
It's come up every now and then, like during lunchtime.
Hey, you gonna get my game back? I ain't beat it yet.
He never asked for it. He just like, when was the last time you played it? And I've even offered to like bring it in. I was like, I need to just bring it in and just give it to you.
God damn.
But anyway.
I'm sorry. That's funny.
Oh, Tim, that's awesome.
So I guess you said you wanted to do some more news?
Oh, yes, yes. Adam, go for it. Do your thing, mister. Because you are quite the professional newscaster on your show. So, and Brian and I, well, we sort of forget to do news sometimes. So,
this section of the Click Nation podcast is brought to you by the Adam Black.
Professional? Have you heard my show? Okay, well, I'll just go ahead and do my best with this.
Dude, you sound like a bill collector. I'm sorry. I mean,
Mr. Banff, can you this bill?
Can you pay this bill? Fuck you.
But is there a way that you can come about the money? Is there a relative that maybe you can get them to pay for it?
Fuck no, fuck you. And that's usually how my bill collect conversations go.
All right. Hey,
lately, I've been wondering if I've got relatives that I can borrow money from. So
it's never good, trust me. Anyway, I got a few articles I was going to go over with the guys. TV Guide put out Who Earns What? TV's Highest Paid Salaries. And, you know, a lot of it comes from reality TV where you can be a high-profile superstar and all of a sudden become a judge on a show. Such is the case with Mariah Carey, who is going to earn apparently $17 million to do American Idol.
That's crazy.
I know.
It's fucking disgusting.
So is that like for the whole run or is that per show?
That's per season. So for this next season, she's going to earn $17 million.
Still.
Yeah, but she gets to sit there, listen to people sing like dying cats, tell them they suck, and she gets to collect $17 million. I can do that. I do it to the radio all day long.
Exactly.
I do it for free.
Damn. I mean, shit. I'm like you. I can do that damn job and actually be better than her at it. So you know. Yeah. Fuck feelings. It's like fuck feelings, bitch. You suck.
Yeah, you're awful. How the hell did you get here in the first place?
Exactly. Why don't you just like why are you alive, huh?
Man. But yeah, that Mariah is the highest in reality shows. You know, Howard Stern. I didn't even know he got $15 million for doing America's Got Talent, which everyone I've heard says sucked.
Even still alive? I didn't even know he was still alive.
Yeah, he is. The king.
Did he replace David Hasselhoff or because? Because the last time I watched that show, the Hoff was still on it, and that was a while ago. But I did not realize that they had Howard Stern on now.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He just joined the cast this season.
Yeah. I want to say I think that was the one that Nick Cannon was on, and he replaced Nick Cannon's part, but I could be wrong.
Nick's still on there. Yeah.
Oh, Nick's still on there. Okay.
Yeah, Nick's the host, and...
Oh, that's right. He's the MC or whatever. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So wait a minute. How much is Nick Cannon making? Because it sounds to me like Mariah Carey is making more than he is.
Yeah, they don't have his on here, unfortunately.
Oh, he didn't even rank. Oh, ain't that some shit?
But the tops late night is David Letterman, followed by Jay Leno.
He's still not funny.
And Jay Leno was on this list, but remember they said that he had to cut his salary I think a week ago, he had wound up having to fire some of the staff members, like the writers on his show. And they said he was going to have to take a bump, so he may not be on this list much longer.
Right, they can get rid of him if they want to, because Jay Leno, I used to think he was funny, but ever since that whole debacle with Conan O'Brien, I just can't respect the guy. I'm like, I'll never watch a show again. So,
well, and the guy that owns like 30 cars and 50 motorcycles, I mean, that's really not going to hurt him much.
Yeah. Right. But, you know, when that whole thing happened, I was telling people that's what Jay Leno does. You know, he did it with David Letterman. He did it with Conan. I wasn't surprised at it at all.
No, but seeing as how Conan O'Brien is much funnier than him, now he's got a show on TBS where he can get away with just about anything. I think he actually won in the long run, but... Man, that was some shady shit that Leno pulled. So, Jay Leno,
I said Jay Leno, dirtiest player in the game.
You know what I'm saying? He's
Ric Flair.
The Ric Flair of late night.
And those motorcycles don't fight themselves.
Oh yeah. And the tops in drama for TV is Mark Harmon for NCIS, and I'm probably the only person that actually watches that show.
What show?
I watch it if it's on. I've never sought the show out, but if it's on, I'll watch it.
NCIS. Right.
What was that? NCIS I can watch. NCIS Los Angeles, I can't watch it. I tried. I'm like, yeah, this show sucks.
I like that. That's pretty good.
Dude, it's got LL Cool J and Robin on there. How good can it be?
LL Cool J I can deal with, but really? Chris O'Donnell?
Robin? Really?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, true, while his performance as Robin was the best in Batman and Robin and Batman Forever, that ain't saying much. And on NCIS, I can't take him seriously. I still see him in spandex. I mean, it just doesn't. And then NCIS Los Angeles. Everybody else on the show, they don't even have names, I don't think. They're just there.
Oh, man. But yeah, that's some of the. Daytime, of course, Judge Judy, $45 million per year.
Oh, that's wrong. Wow.
Tell people that they're stupid? Wow. I could do that for $45 million a year.
Remind me to hit up Judge Judy. Hey, girl, how you doing?
And, of course, news is Matt Lauer, $21.5 million a year.
Holy shit.
Matt Lauer, that?
Really? Yeah. Yeah.
Matt Lauer, like a burn dude on television. How the hell?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude, that's like three times more than he needs to be paid to do what he does.
I know, right?
Shit, I mean, that's above Bill O'Reilly, and that Bill O'Reilly he earns $15 million, but still, I didn't think Matt Lauer could do that.
I mean, Bill O'Reilly's a cock, but God damn it, he's interesting.
Yeah.
So, wait a minute, how much does Ann Curry make? Oh, she doesn't make shit. She got fired. Never mind.
Yeah, that whole thing, that turned out to be, I mean, NBC, boy, they know how to screw people over.
I'll say that was some shady shit there, too. Oh, wait, I'm seeing a pattern. Leno's on NBC.
Yeah.
The Today Show is on NBC.
Interesting. And Judge Joe Brown, he earns $20 million. That ain't too bad either.
Damn, Judge Joe Brown.
Hey. You know what? He needs to be making more than Judge Judy, goddammit.
But, yeah, that's some interesting things I wanted to share as far as the salaries people were earning in TV. This came out – excuse me. This was a Sports Illustrated article. Y'all may have heard about Michael Jordan's former high school coach, where he basically the guy's falling on some hard times, and he has a mental problem, I think schizophrenia, and you know,
oh,
Yeah, and basically this guy, the guy who wrote the article, was basically saying, you know, can you help out Pop, because, you know, he could use some help. And, you know, he was asking, well, Michael Jordan, this guy helped you out as far as, you know, high school and that type of thing. Can you help him out, you know, and that type of thing. And, you know, my thing is that, you know, while it'd be cool for Michael Jordan to help this guy out, I mean, at a certain point, even Michael Jordan can't help everyone that he's probably interacted with in his life. You know, I mean, is it possible? Yeah, he probably could help out a lot of people, but then, you know, it's kind of tough.
Yeah, what do they need to? I mean, it's not, I mean, yeah, it's sad the guy's got schizophrenia and he needs help, but what's that got to do with Michael Jordan?
Just because that was his old coach.
So. Well, yeah, but I'm going me crazy, but I think Michael Jordan's been out of high school for a couple of years. I don't think it matters anymore.
Yeah, I know. And what do you think, since you're a sports guy, Tim?
I don't know. If I say Michael Jordan, he hasn't really been too relevant. His team, the Bobcats, is one of the worst teams in the league, and basically everyone just likes making fun of the baggy, stonewashed jeans he's always caught wearing in pictures online.
But yeah, man, it's sad, but you know, I can't see, you know, Michael Jordan trying to help everyone out. I mean, right. You know, he can't, can he? Yeah, but you know, I don't think he can.
That's the thing. I mean, if he helped this guy, what's to prevent anybody else from coming out his past saying, okay, well, I got this wrong. You know, I know you. I knew you way back when. Help me out. You know. I mean,
exactly. If he helps this person out, then suddenly everybody's going to want help from Michael Jordan, and then the media will be all over that. So how about just new?
Right. But the bad thing about it, the catch 22 is, if Michael Jordan says no, he's still going to look like a dick for it. You know.
That's true. Yeah. That's sad reality. Yeah, really. Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
If you don't, so you know. But you know, that's the society we live in these days.
Oh yeah, sad. All right, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, he was in Expendables 2. Did anyone see that? Because I haven't seen it.
Not yet.
Nope.
Yep.
Anyone plan on seeing it?
I also might go see
the DVD comes out. Yeah,
yeah, I get the digital download. So,
yeah, I may go see it this weekend. I'm not sure, but yeah, he's got a leading role. It'll be his first movie since The Terminator 3, which was back in 2003. Like, good gosh!
Shit.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been that long that he actually was the star of. The movie's called The Last Stand, and it will come out January 18th, 2013. He's 65, and he's going to be playing a small-town border sheriff battling a Mexican drug cartel in the film. And this is Korean director Ji-Woon Kim's English-language debut.
Oh, well, that's awesome, because Arnold Schwarzenegger still really can't speak English, so this should work.
But, yeah, so look for that coming soon. That may be pretty good. Arnold, yeah, no, I think he's
pretty good. That's a boring title.
I saw the trailer for it, and it looks just like an 80s action movie. That's really what it looks like, you know. Full of with the stereotypical Mexican drug guy. It's like, wow. Like, well, damn, what is this? Longwood McQuaid? Oh my God. So I might go see it just for nostalgia purposes only, you know.
Yeah.
I'll see it, when it hits the $2 theater.
All right. For the political guys in the crowd, Kelsey Grammer stars on the show called Boss. And he said he was snubbed from the Emmys because of the fact that he's a Republican. And, you know.
I hate politics. I hate politicians.
This would be the part on our show where I'd say, what's the next story?
Yeah, pretty much, because I don't, I really, I mean, you know, I'm a politics nerd, but who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, I got better shit in politics to worry about and Kelsey's grandma's hurt ego.
Basically.
I don't give a fuck, Kelsey.
I don't mind hearing about Kelsey Grammer because, well, he played Beast and he played him well, but I don't care about his politics.
Exactly. I don't give a fuck about his political position. It makes me no difference. There's better shit for me to worry about in politics than Kelsey Grammer. Sorry.
You know what? Nobody else does either.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a surprise that, you know, people will come out and say that they are actually Republican or Democrats. Well, Republicans anyway, because, you know, Republicans pretty much get the whole thing of being assholes anyway.
Yeah, you know.
But, you know, I will say I can separate the politics. I can separate the politics from the person, so I'm good with that. Let's see. Well, do you want to know? I had put this down in here. Publishers want more erotic books like 50 Shades of Grey.
What?
The copycat disease.
Oh, money porn? Oh, yes. Money porn.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's the new hot thing, so everyone's got to copy it.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen anything. Next, after the Harry Potter books hit big, everyone wanted like a wizardy type book, and now they want this, and they're trying to. And the whole thing started from fan fiction.
Yeah, that's what's scary. It's, you know, fan slash fiction, and this person's making millions of dollars off it. That's just frightening.
Because I've read a lot of fan fiction in my time on the internet. And a lot of that crap is terrible.
A lot of it is.
Of course it is. Yeah. That's why it's on the internet, and that's why it's not in a book.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, man, they've already, I mean, there's another book called The Bear to You series, and they've already sold 500,000 copies, and I'm like, good grief.
Really?
Jesus.
Damn, well, I guess mommy's got to masturbate too, so shit, fuck it. You know.
I'm just talking to Kirsten. She
Isn't
says
good night. Mike is for? They can go see Magic Mike, though?
Oh, God. Shoot, yeah. I had a friend, one of my wife's friends, she was talking about going to see. I was like, and she doesn't see movies like that. I'm like, she does really? Know that it's rated R, right?
Like, it's got like naked dudes in it, right?
It
seems like something you couldn't go to see on a full stomach.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, man, that was just an article, and you know, anyone who wants to write that type of stuff, you can possibly get money, get paid.
Sure. You know what? Just the sad state of affairs when shit like that gets noticed by so many people that they decide to get that the person, the asshole who wrote it, actually gets to collect a paycheck from it. What the fuck is wrong with this planet now? Jesus Christ.
Well, you wait, man. You're complaining about the books. Wait till they haven't sold the movie rights yet, I'll wager.
Actually, I think they.
I think the movie rights have been sold for that one.
Oh my God!
I can't remember what movie studio, but I'll look it up and let y'all know.
Yeah, but I know she got an agent. She got the real life Ari to be her agent. I read it on one of these sites. I was like, I didn't know at that time what it was about. The only problem I have with it is just the fact that we know what this stuff is about, and you can go to the grocery store down the street and buy it. That's the problem I have. I don't mind
Look, man, soccer moms need to get off, too. When they buying that cucumber, they need something to read.
Like, you know what? It ain't sick enough that people are reading that shit, and they're selling that shit at Walmart, too. But you know how many people are going to go see that movie? You know what? That person that wrote that, they should not be proud. They should be damned embarrassed of it.
Yeah. You know, people, you know, they got to get off, too.
Eggs. God damn it. The world's full of debauchery and sickness, god damn it. And she's making money off of it. Fuck.
Gotta make the money, man.
I'm just saying, man. Cucumbers and eggs, like cucumbers and eggs, holla.
And I had emailed this to Banff the other day, and he approved. WWE Studios and Warner Brothers are going to team up and do an animated Scooby-Doo movie, a direct-to-DVD movie.
Wait a minute. WWE and Warner Bros. What the fuck does the WWE have to do with Scooby Doo?
Nah, well, you know, they got Warner Bros. Has Scooby Doo. What was that?
I was saying, what the fuck kind of. That's random. Like,
yeah.
I want to see animated wrestlers. Look, I haven't had animated wrestlers since Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling back in the 80s. Look, I want animated wrestlers and Scooby-Doo together. It makes me happy.
Zoinks! Hey, it's like John Cena.
Exactly. That's what I want to hear, damn it. I hope that's a line in the movie. I'm going back.
Adam Black already knows I've never been the big...
Yeah, Tim's never liked Scooby-Doo.
So
how dare you, Tim?
I didn't like it when I was a kid. I don't like it now neither. Yeah. But
I like it when I was a kid, and then I learned that G.I. Joe and Transformers were out there.
Well, I saw it before like Transformers, G.I. Joe, and all that stuff. But still, you know, I got hooked as a kid on the classic Scooby-Doo stuff. So
yeah. But we're old, so.
Well, here's an idea. I'll give a shit when the WWE goes to Hasbro and says, how about we make a new G.I. Joe cartoon, goddammit? We're going to put The Rock and Sergeant Slaughter and John Cena and CM Punk and everybody else in the WWE is going to do the voices, and I'll watch it then. Otherwise, I don't give a fuck what they do. Although I do know the WWE Films is going to remake Leprechaun. Swoggle.
Yeah, with Arnold Swoggle.
I thought they had been done that. Maybe not.
They had signed it.
Yes. No one wants to see that. Mm-mm, sorry.
No. I never saw the original Leprechaun. I certainly don't feel compelled to watch a remake made by the WWE.
Last time WWE did a horror movie, it was that damn See No Evil, and oh my god, that shit's
I never saw it. I never heard anything good about it, which is why I didn't see it.
Exactly.
Good man. Good man.
But supposedly WWE or the wrestlers involved, they were talking about John Cena, Triple H, Kane, The Miz, Brodus Clay, Santino Marella, Sin Cara, AJ, and Vince McMahon himself, supposedly they've already did their voiceovers this past week in LA while they were doing SummerSlam. They went ahead and did their voices. So the movie probably won't be out. Will probably be out pretty soon.
That's cool. Weird. So random. I mean, it might turn out to be a great movie. In fact, it might be the first, it could very well turn out to be the first Scooby-Doo thing that I can stomach since the first live-action movie, which was okay. And then the second one came and fucked all that up. But, but I mean, I admit I am somewhat curious about it, and I'm somewhat annoyed at myself about that, so.
That's just WWE's way of trying to get into Hollywood and...
Yeah. Trying to keep the kitties in there. You know how it is.
No, that's all right. It could be worse. I mean, at least it's not the goddamn Smurfs. So that would be unforgivable. So.
Mm-mm-mm. All right. The next story I had was The Rage, Joe Taslim. He's set to be the villain in The Fast and the Furious 6 opposite Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. His character is going to be a cold-blooded killer who uses martial arts and parkour skills to fight against the Fast crew. And they said this performance could be reminiscent of, like, Jet Li making his step up in Lethal Weapon 4 as a showcase, and that should make him the new it star as far as action, you know, kung fu movies, that type of thing. He's supposedly a judo martial arts master who lives in Jakarta, and he was discovered, and that's how he got in that movie The Raid, which I think came out, I don't know if it came out in theaters or if it came out on DVD. I can't remember. But yeah, that should be pretty interesting. From the little bit I saw The Raid, it looked like it was going to be pretty good.
I know people are excited about The Raid, but I don't see the hype.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it, but now I'm kind of curious.
Yeah.
I had to look for that.
Fast and Furious movie, really?
It's two more.
Well,
got two more.
Well, here's the problem. I saw the first Fast and the Furious, and then I was, and then I watched half of the second one before I turned off the television. And I haven't been interested in seeing any of them since. I haven't seen part five yet, but here's the problem, goddammit. You put The Rock in it, and I probably want to see it, and that ain't a good thing, especially in the case of Fast and Furious, because that's about the only way I could have given a fuck about it. So if he's coming back for number six, well, okay, well, you know, it's just goddamn
fuck it.
The Rock is, yeah.
Well, pretty much can sum up how the Click Nation feels about Fast and Furious. Number one, great. Vin Diesel stole the show. Number two, it was...
Vin Diesel was smart enough not to come back for it.
He still came back for later ones, though.
He came back.
At that point, he wasn't a rising movie star anymore. He needed a paycheck.
Then that very well may be true. Because pretty much the third one, you know, you're waiting to see his cameo, and he doesn't show up till the very end of the movie. In that movie, wow.
Yeah. And then you got to deal with Bow Wow for the whole fucking movie.
Didn't it? I mean, that was like that had really nothing to do with the other ones I heard.
It does have a connection once after the fourth and fifth one came out. There is a connection. But, you know, it's one of those things that at the time they were thinking this new kid was going to take over the franchise. And boy, were they wrong.
Because I heard it didn't do all that well.
Which one was Tokyo Drift now?
That was the third
one. That was the third one.
I haven't seen the third one. I've seen the fourth one, though. That wasn't too bad.
Yeah, the fourth one's not too bad.
Yeah, third one's the one you're not missing anything.
I skipped
the fourth one because I figured it'd have all the same problems that the first one had. Yeah, then they put The Rock in the fifth one. I'm like, darn, son of a bitch, they did that on purpose, those bastards.
I definitely haven't seen the fifth one if The Rock's in it. I was not aware that he was in it to begin with.
Yep, it's a good movie. It's actually pretty good, the fifth one. So here's the order. Watch the first one. If you skip the second one, you're not really missing much. Go ahead and skip the third one. Watch the fourth one. Watch the fifth one.
So, after number six, are they planning to do more of them?
Supposedly, there's going to be one more after that.
Oh, God.
Well, Saw stopped at number seven, so maybe Fast and the Furious will, too.
Fast 7.
Yeah, we need some newer Fast names. Around Fast 2. Fastest and Furious
you know, fascists
and sort of pissed off, you know, the slow and the mildly irritated.
That might work. That might work. I like it.
Yeah, man. Well, this next one was about basically traditional radio. Well, it was talking about radio stations are basically, you know, going away for the most part. You know, as far as creating radio stars, that type of thing, like that stuff isn't happening anymore. That's basically what.
Yeah, because video killed the radio star. God damn it!
Hell, then what killed video? Because I don't know about y'all, but I don't watch videos anymore.
No. Yeah. I haven't watched a music video in, 5 or 6 years now. Last I checked, the music video stations weren't playing music videos anymore, and you had to go up into the hundreds on cable to see music videos, so...
And they said, as of right now, 40% of Americans consume audio on digital devices. I know I do.
I do. Of course, I don't listen to shit but podcasts. So,
podcasts and satellite radios taking my time.
Yeah. But they said by 2015, that number is going to double. And basically and basically, like, people aren't going to be listening to traditional radio stations that much anymore. So, you know, it's just going
to
be crazy.
I know the only time I listen to the radio is when I'm in the car. And the only time I really pay any attention to it is when I have the kids in the car with me. Because if they're in the car with me, I got to listen real carefully to what they're playing so I can switch it off at a moment's notice when somebody sees something or sings something that I don't want my children repeating. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although every once in a while, like, I'll hear a song by, because my oldest, she got introduced to Michael Jackson at school last year. So every time Michael Jackson's on, she's all excited. And, well, I can't blame her. I always just turn it up. So.
but the one thing that they said about Sirius, Tim, is that they've spent all that money trying to pay for high paid celebrities.
Oh, yeah.
So that could be a problem for them.
Yeah, cause I mean, that's what they do. They're paying Oprah a whole bunch of money, and she never even shows up on her radio station.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Forget the high-paid celebrities. I mean, you don't need high-paid celebrities to do radio. I mean, you can find normal people that are just really good at it and let them go about their business.
Well, I mean, that's the thing with podcasting now. I mean, you know, now, true enough, you have some people that are, you know, just doing basic, podcasts, it's something that you wouldn't want to pay for, you know. But then you have some people that do great things as podcasts or as podcast hosts. So, you know, they'll eventually, you know, that could be the future right there. Is, you know,
I mean, I can see that. I mean, you got people who just, again, they're just regular folks. I mean, anybody who listens to the Eclectic Discussion podcast, I mean, that is the slickest sounding podcast that I've ever heard. I mean, his show can put a lot of radio shows to shame already. I mean, I don't know if Eclectic was born to podcast, but it sure sounds like he was.
Yeah,
and
no.
In the show he puts on, I mean, it puts the radio stations that I have on in the car to shame. I mean, they don't. I think if a lot of those DJs heard his show or you know, a lot of the other podcasts that I listen to, if they heard that shit, they'd just cry themselves to sleep at night.
the man produces a nice podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Unless, of course, then you got people like us, you know, Brian and I. Yeah, we can't even figure out how they edit our show. So, you know, there's no danger of podcasting taking over radio altogether. But, I mean, basically at this point, I listen to podcasts, and if I can't because I'm in the car, half the time I've got NPR on just because I can pretend it's a podcast.
Yeah.
And they also noted that a lot of the podcast guys, they are old. Or not podcast, the radio guys are old.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, even the car talk guys on NPR are retiring after 20-some-odd years of doing it because, you know, they just don't have it anymore. And it's like all the good radio casters and all the good DJs, they're retiring or going away. And, well, they're you know, they're leaving people that don't have as much experience and aren't as good at it. And it's just the way the world's going. I mean, everything's going digital and everything's going on demand. And, you know, it's easy to ignore the things that you just don't want to hear anymore.
That's true.
All right.
I mean, I admit the only thing I've watched on MTV in the last 5 years, Teen Wolf. But because it's a good show, and I just ignore everything else that's on the channel, so.
Hey, you actually like it? I haven't. I have a friend who keeps saying they want me to watch it, but I just can't. I don't know. I just, you know, it's just having to sit down and watch it, I guess.
Oh, it is. But I like the show a lot. My fiance and I mean, we're sad that the second season just ended, so.
That's the show on MTV, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It's on Netflix, so if you want to Netflix that guy, feel free to.
Yeah, yeah. Season one's on Netflix, and all I can say is I recommend people give the show a try. I mean, after a couple of episodes, if you're not into it, you're probably not going to get into it, but it got me from the beginning of it. But, you know, the second season just ended, and as it turns out, the main cast member, the Teen Wolf, Scott, he in the second season, he turned out to be the least interesting character on the show. So, and then, well, let's see, first season was 12 episodes, second season was 12 episodes, but the ratings have been so good that they not only renewed it for a third season, but the third season's going to be 24 episodes long. And the 12 episodes of the past two seasons hasn't really been enough. I sort of wish that the second season maybe could have been 14 or 16 episodes. You know, like they're doing with The Walking Dead. The first season was, what, 6 episodes? And then...
Yeah, it was really short.
The second season was 12 or 13 episodes, and then the third season's going to be 16 episodes, I think. I mean... At what they should have done with Teen Wolf for season two was gradually had the episode numbers going up, because really to go from 12 episodes this year to 24 next year, that's a whole lot.
Shows people are liking the show.
Yeah, I may have to check it out after all.
He was saying it shows people are actually liking the show.
Yeah, I mean, I got into it, and I'm not even a werewolf fan, but I like the way they handle the show. It's good.
All right. The next thing, well, can't show it to people because it's a video, but it's the trailer for DC Comics' Robot Chicken special. It's coming out, I think, in September. I only have the YouTube link. So I don't have.
Idea what it's going to be about, but when you say robot chicken, I'll watch it.
Yeah, you say robot chicken, and I say shut up and take my money.
But yeah, even DC Comics did an alternate cover for Aquaman number 12 as the using the robot chicken action figures on it. It's actually pretty funny just in the cover.
Well, I mean, I can take a robot chicken version of Aquaman more seriously than I can take the comic book version, so.
Hey, now, the Aquaman in the comic books now is actually, it's probably one of the best series they've got going.
Really?
And, but they play a, what was that? I'm sorry.
I would say, seriously, they found a way to make Aquaman not lame. Wow.
Yep. Well, that was the whole thing. They played up on the fact that everyone thinks he's lame, and then, you know, pretty much proved that, no, he's, you know, what all this stuff you think you know about him is wrong. So it's actually pretty good.
At any point in the new 52 version of Aquaman, does he ride a giant seahorse?
No. Not that I've seen.
Well, that's Thank not God. Cool. Because if you're going to put Aquaman, his steed must be a seahorse. So.
Did you say steed? Oh, my God.
It is a horse. It would be a steed.
Oh, wow. Steed. Love it.
So, yeah, Robot right. Chicken, we'll be watching.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, I'll be watching. So, wait a minute. Is the Robot Chicken DC, so it's direct to video? Are they going to air it on TV, too, or is it just putting it out on Blu-ray?
It's going to be on TV, and then they'll probably, put out a Blu-ray.
I was going to say about a week later, they'll put it out on Blu-ray. All right, that's cool.
I don't think it's going to be that fast.
I don't know, because the only reason I say that is because, like my kids, they watch Monster High on Nicktoons, and it'll air on TV, it'll premiere on TV one night, and then literally a week or 2 weeks later, there's a DVD buying. So it's for the kids, damn it, the kids. Yes, I watch it sometimes, but whatever.
Yes. All right. The next story is Apple is in talks with the cable systems about a new set-top box. Basically, they contacted some U.S. cable systems for letting customers use an Apple device as a set-top box for receiving live television and other content. Apple has been trying to get into the TV market for some time.
Oh, God damn it. No, Apple, you cannot own the world. Not yet.
Yeah, man. That's what they're going to try and do. They don't have any details on the box. They already know. Now, we already know about Apple TV. That cost about $99. But that all you can pretty much do is just get through Netflix and iTunes and that type of thing. So that's
My Blu-ray player does that. In fact, a few weeks ago, I finally made the discovery on my Blu-ray player how to get it to play Netflix movies, and I don't even watch them on the computer anymore. In fact, we don't even watch a lot of the TV anymore. We just fire up the Netflix, see what we can find on there.
That's what most people do nowadays.
Yeah. Cable operators have been worried that Apple could erode their relationship with customers if Apple had a role in making a set-top box. So I guess that people are just going to just jump and buy the set-top box.
My cable company is Time Warner, and if they're worried about further eroding customer relations with Time Warner, all they have to do is hold their breath, because it ain't going to take much, because they piss me off every month. So,
besides the Apple TV, besides the top box, they actually want to make a regular TV that's Apple TV. That's in the future, too.
Yeah, the flat panel or eye panel or something like that.
Yeah.
All right.
TV, and he swears by it, but he's like the biggest Apple whore there ever was.
Shoot. Yeah, I know. He'll definitely be getting it.
Yeah.
I think it's got a lot of potential here. I like Apple stuff. I mean, their stuff works for me. I don't have Apple TV, but I think they kind of got in and on ground floor here with this. People kind of sick of their cable companies, and they're looking for a new outlet to get their stuff, and I think Apple's going to give it to them.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, okay. I saw my thing blink on my on my Netgear here.
Okay.
Skype's a disaster tonight.
Yeah, we lost Larry a few times.
Yeah, he was having problems. He was going to reboot the phone and come back.
Yeah.
God damn it. Yeah. Somebody needs to come up with a viable alternative, because this is just a mess. Like Brian said on the last show, all you have to do is get more than two people on the Skype line, and it suddenly starts having issues.
Well, yeah, it depends on the person's connection on their end, too.
Yeah, see, the internet where I'm at gets really bad at night.
Yeah, mine will do that sometimes too, late at night, like after midnight.
everybody gets home and gets on the internet and just bogs it down.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, everyone's off of work. Time to get online.
That's it.
Yeah, I was going to say, if only we didn't work day jobs and, you know, do things like, you know, responsible people have to do sometimes. Then I can podcast during the day. But, oh, God damn it, I got to go to work. Shit.
But, yeah, I have a link basically about the pros and cons of self-publishing, which I'll just put – I'll have Tim put on the website. You know, basically, you know, ebooks and that type of thing is pretty much going to be the new norm. And I discovered, because Tim gave me a Kindle, there are some people putting out books. I mean, the books may be $1.99 and they'll only be like 40 or 50 pages, but I think that's going to be something that's going to be the future.
Oh, yeah. You know, one of my buddies here in Colorado is a fairly famous photographer, and he has an agreement with one of the software companies, and he writes ebooks, basically instruction guides for these guys, and he's just raking it in.
See, yeah. I mean, and like I said, they don't have to be, you know, most people think when you write a book, like, what, you know, 200 pages or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, you can write an ebook and it's only like a 30-page, 40-page ebook. You know, sell it for $1.99, 99 cents. You're, and depending on the agreement you make, you can keep a lot of that money. So,
yeah,
with the exception with iBooks, like Apple, I think they take a bigger chunk, I think, over Amazon. But you know,
that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, they're gonna get their money. All right, the last thing I'll leave off with is the box office for last weekend. Basically, a lot of insiders were reporting that a lot of people were trying to figure out what's way to calculate who's going to be number one and that type of thing, but they could never figure it out. But number one was Expendables 2. Earned $28.7 million. Not really a surprise.
Okay. Damn, that sounds low.
Well, they said it's $6 million lower than the first one.
Okay.
That surprises.
Still, with a bigger cast and more marketing, I think it would have made more money, but all right.
Yeah, it is being reviewed well. They did say that. But yeah, it's kind of a somewhat surprising low. It's lower than what people were expecting, but still number one. They're not really complaining.
Make that money.
Yep. Number two was The Bourne Legacy. It was number two. It earned another. Damn, it doesn't say. But so far, it's coomed. It's made $69.5 million. Oh, the weekend it made $17 million. So.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm deliberately waiting for the DVD release because I saw the first three in the theater and I really liked them, but this one just sort of, I mean, it's The Bourne Legacy, but I heard that it actually takes the events of The Bourne Legacy take place during the events of The Bourne Ultimatum. So I'm like, well, okay. So it's a Bourne movie without Jason Bourne, and it's a spinoff that takes place during the third movie. Yeah, I think I'll just wait for the DVD. I mean, it's got nothing to do with Hawkeye. I'm sure he's fine in the movie. I don't want to pay and see it at the theater.
Well, JD, you might not have to worry about that because I was at dinner with one of Emily's cousins, and they went to see it, and he says – it looks like they're setting it up, number one, for a trilogy. And in the second movie, he says it sounds like they're setting it up for Jason Bourne to return in the second movie.
Yeah, you know he's going to come back. Just like Vin Diesel.
Well, I think they just said Matt Damon was just going to take this one off, basically, as if it was a job. But still, they said he would eventually return to the role, so... That was interesting. So
yeah, I think that's kind of an interesting way to do it, is to introduce a new character. That's, I haven't seen kind of plot line like that, where they try and take it in a whole new direction, but then kind of merge the original back into it. I think that's
right. All right. Number three was Paranorman in 3D. For the weekend, it earned $14 million. I had seen commercials for it and ads for it, but I didn't think it was going to be that good of a movie, but oh well.
Isn't that a kid movie? Isn't that like a cartoon or something like that?
Yeah, animated.
Or the CGI. I had a CGI show. That said that he went to go see it to see if it would be appropriate for his like 8-year-old daughter, and he said it was not appropriate and it was not a good movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I thought for sure it'd be for good for a kid to see.
Wait a minute, what movie is this? I lost the audio there.
It was Paranorman.
Oh, I've seen the commercials for it. I wondered about that too, if it'd be appropriate for the kids, but because my oldest is 8 and the youngest is 5, and well, that answers that question. So okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't sound like it was kid appropriate from what Joe was saying.
Yeah, because they marketed it like it would be, yeah, I've learned that lesson. Sometimes they market it, making it look like it's great for the whole family, and yeah, in reality, not so much. So, okay, well, that answers that question. So we'll wait for the DVD, and we'll wait until they're a little bit older.
Yeah,
it's gotta kind of suck if you got kids and you take them to this, because it's, you know, it's expensive to go to the movie theater to stay in age, and you take them to a movie and it's not appropriate for them. That would just really kind of, well, I don't know. I think that would kind of piss me off, honestly.
Yes, yeah, especially after you get into the theater and then all of a sudden, you know, it's, you know, something that, speaking of which, that movie, The Odd Life of Timothy Green, it's on this list, but I remember seeing a YouTube video this morning of kids complaining because I guess the movie has some dark undertones or something, but they say it's the equivalent of like watching being a kid and watching Bambi's mom die. So kids are like crying and stuff, like, I don't want to see it again. I'm like, I mean, wow.
Life, kids.
Wait a minute. I must have had like the worst mom. The movie,
I've seen the commercials.
Well, go ahead. What were you saying, Bamf?
I must have, like, the worst mom ever, because, I mean, I remember watching Scarface at, like, 8 years old, and she being absolutely fine with that.
You got your love for movies early, then.
Yeah, I mean, my mom didn't. I mean, I think, you know what?
Oh, I don't know. That might explain a few things, but.
Right. You know, I think that, you know, not because I don't have kids, but, you know, but if I did, you know, certainly there are certain things I would not let them, you know, look at. But, you know, there are some things it's like, you know what? I mean, you're probably going to hear worse than this in at the school playground. So here, go look at this, you know, R-rated movie and get the hell out of my face, you know. But I just never understand. I mean, I guess because of the way I was raised, I just don't understand keeping kids from seeing certain things. I just, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, well, I mean.
I think there's an
age. Well, it can't be because I don't have kids. It's probably, you know, it's probably why I feel that way. But, you know, I mean, like I say, I saw Scarface and, oh, God, like The Exorcist and all this. And Halloween and Friday the 13th and all this good old shit when I was a kid, and I have not killed anybody or sold drugs. Yet. You know.
Yet.
So.
Well, see, here's the problem, is some kids just more impressionable than others, and part of the problem is the younger two. You know, we can show them a lot of PG-13 rated movies and whatever. It won't affect them one way or the other. But my oldest, she's impressionable. She likes to repeat things that she hears, and she likes to have conversations about things that she sees. And Well, I've heard some things that she said that she learned at school, and it just reinforces my stance that, you know what, there's some movies that kid just doesn't need to see.
Right.
Like I said, you know, the younger two kids, there's more things that we'd let them watch because we don't have to worry about it corrupting them. But the oldest, there's some things, and it's like, you know, in a few years, I'm not going to be able to let the kid leave the house, and that's all there is to it, so.
Right, exactly, so.
Yeah, and some of the stuff I saw as a kid, you know, I know I definitely wouldn't let my kids go and see, but, you know, my mama would have smacked the taste out of my mouth if I had done some crazy, stupid shit as a result of seeing it, so, and yeah, you know, I'll let you do that.
I think that's for me too, because I know I was like scared to death of my mom when I was growing up. So me repeat something that Scarface said? No, because she would have slapped my damn jaw off my face. No.
Yeah, and then my mom didn't do it. All I had to worry about was my dad coming home, and my dad didn't have to hit me. He had a voice. But you wait till your dad gets home, it's like, oh shit. And he didn't have to get a voice. Just phoning your voice and make it blunder and cold. Like, yeah, I won't do that.
I was going to say that the one kid, our oldest, they're impressionable. Well, she don't listen anyway. So I used to figure that maybe I had that voice, but no, not really. She just goes about her business. And kids.
You know, you tell her something. It's like, oh, Dad, you're so funny. And then she goes off to do whatever.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, that's about it. She don't take us seriously when we tell her about things. And, parenting. It's always an adventure.
Always an emergency.
Yeah. Adam, how many kids do you have?
Just the one stepkid. And she drives me crazy pretty much every freaking day.
How old is she?
She's 13.
Wow.
I believe I'll have to get a permit and get the shotgun by the door, because good grief.
Oh, fuck yeah, you are.
You have a girl that turns into a teenager, I think you can go to a gun store and they just give you a shotgun.
No. Fuck a shotgun. Get a sniper rifle and a 50 cal.
See? That's the right way. That'll be the wife.
I'm gonna have a rifle, goddammit. I'm going to start going to the rifle range, learn how to shoot, saying to shoot every little bastard that comes to the door for him. So, mine's 8, going on 13. Scares me someday she's going to be a teenager because the world's a sick place. And like I said, people can influence her, and it drives me insane. We're actually thinking Catholic school, not because we're Catholic, but because I want her to become a nun, because that's the only God damn it.
Now just make her rebel more.
I'm going to drop her off at a fucking convent and say, fix her. So,
wow.
See how shit's going to go. Because she's fine now, but oh, by the time she's a teenager, crap.
Trust me.
So that's news, right?
Yeah, pretty much. The only thing out of that top 10 I know is that Total Recall is number 10. It's about to be out of the top 10, period. And it only earned for the weekend $3.5 million, and that is just sad.
What's the total box office on it?
$51.7 million.
Oh, damn. Damn.
Not good at all.
That's not good. That's Jesus.
I went and saw that opening night.
What was that?
I went and saw it opening night.
How was it?
It was not very good.
Okay.
It was there were just plot elements that you just could not ignore because they were just too unexplainably stupid. I mean,
really, it's made worse because Brian, you actually had expectations for it, right? Like you were.
Yeah, no, I've been watching the previews, and you know, I had a buddy of mine on Facebook telling me how cool it was going to be, and I got all hyped up because of him, and we went and saw it opening night, and oh yeah, I'm the first one. I was really disappointed because I really like Colin Farrell. I like him in everything that I've seen. He's really good in doing remakes of stuff. He was in SWAT. He was in Miami Vice. He was good in those roles. Those
Fright Night.
Those were good movies. But, man, no, this didn't cut it.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll be sticking with my Arnold Schwarzenegger version then, yeah.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to rent Total Recall, but it was like, you know what? I'm not paying to see that. Because I heard some good things, and I heard more bad things, and really, I like the scenery in the movie, and I like the armored guys that are not stormtroopers, but clearly were inspired by them. I can't pay to see that. I can't.
I mean, I think it's a bad idea for anybody to remake a Arnold Schwarzenegger movie because, you know, Total Recall sucks, Conan sucks, big, juicy, donkey dick. I mean,
God, my fiance tried to watch Conan last weekend
so fucking hard.
I was podcasting, and she turned it on because it was on Netflix, and we didn't see it in the theater because here it was only available to see in 3D. And, like, there was no 2D showing, so we're like, well, fuck that. We're not paying for that. So she tried to watch it last weekend on Netflix, and I went in after the podcast was over with, and, you know, the movie was off, and she was watching something else, and I'm like, did you finish it? She's like, no, I couldn't take it anymore. About 45 minutes into it and said, well, that's enough of that. And that's sad because those kind of movies we generally enjoy watching, but
right.
Yeah, she said that was absolutely unwatchable. I mean, not that she was expecting much, but right. Yeah, she said it was just awful.
Right. I mean, because I wasn't expecting much from that damn movie.
No, I wasn't.
But, you know, but it's sad if you're looking at a movie and then all of a sudden suicide becomes a viable option.
See, the only thing about that movie, I've read those books, the original Howard Carter books, and I think this movie was more in tune to the books than it was to the original Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Right.
I still like the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie a lot better, but I thought this remake was a lot closer to the books.
Right.
I mean, I admit I only wanted to see it because I heard that the entire movie consists of a lot of full-scale slaughter and random beheadings every couple of seconds. Really, that's all I want to see. I just want to see a whole lot of people get killed in huge numbers in movies like that. But I mean, Braveheart was fun for exactly that reason. Because of all the touchy-feely emotional crap I didn't give a damn about. But my God, when even mass chaos and bloody limbs can't save the movie, I know it's bad. So
right.
Well, yeah, I wasn't going to go see it anyway. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of the originals. I just when you can
put your tongue out.
Sorry, sir.
Put your goddamn tongue out.
Cut his mic.
Cut my mic? No.
No, your tongue, damn it.
That's another that was based on a book. Oh, that's all. Okay, Dick book. I really like the Philip K. Dick stuff. And boy, it's been a long time since I've read that particular story, so I don't remember how well that relates to the story. But I know that was even further off than what the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie was.
Wow.
it's hard to adapt his stuff anyway from the stuff I've been reading, but he's he influenced so many freaking movies.
Yeah. You do a search for Philip K. Dick movies, and it's like 20 movies.
Yeah. But yeah. The
best of which is Blade Runner, I add.
Yes. Some people said that those elements were in Total Recall, and that someone said that Total Recall was more, the new one was more in tune with Blade Runner than the first Total Recall movie, but that's someone's opinion.
I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say that there's definitely a lot more elements that were in this new Total Recall movie that would have fit in the new Blade Runner. Mm-hmm. Not that I want to see him remake that, though. I think that I'll leave that alone.
That could happen. I once heard a rumor about that, but
they're doing a Blade Runner sequel, if I remember right.
I thought it was just going to be a remake.
I thought it was a sequel.
Oh, okay.
I know Ridley Scott's involved somehow. I have to go reread and research.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear on that, hear what you guys find on that.
But yeah,
so, Ridley Scott might be involved in it, but you know who's not going to be? Tony Scott.
Yeah.
Too soon? Yeah.
A little bit too soon.
Yeah, I know. Soon, poor taste. Boo. I know, but I don't care. I really don't. I don't care.
After all this time, who drew more money? Avengers or Dark Knight?
I'm guessing Avengers.
Avengers will probably end up doing more money, yeah.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Dark Knight Rises has made a lot of money, but it ain't cracked $1 billion. And the Avengers not only made $1 billion, but it overshot it considerably. So now,
if anyone had that statistics on that yet,
yeah. What was that? I'm sorry.
I was just curious if anyone had the current box office numbers for those two movies. I was kind of curious to see where they were at.
Last time I read, Dark Knight was sitting at right at 900 million.
All right, well, goddamn it, just stop, because I will not stand for it making more money than the Avengers. So you just
Avengers was at 1.5 billion. So I think Dark Knight will cross a billion, but it won't beat Avengers.
They said you were right about $899 million for Dark Knight Rises.
Right.
Still, that's a big chunk of change.
I'll let this go after this, but I was reading some message board about some people they were talking about Sony needs to let the rights to Spider-Man go back to Marvel because of the fact that they were saying, well, Amazing Spider-Man was probably the worst of the comic book movies, and it hasn't done all the money that, you know, the other two big comic book movies did.
It's suffering from the fact that it's the Spider-Man movie after Spider-Man 3, so it's not going to make money. Batman Begins didn't make that much money in retrospect, you know, because Batman movie coming off Batman and Robin. So yeah, now the second one, when the second one comes out, oh, trust me, it's going to make $1 billion. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, I think they waited. They didn't wait long enough to reboot the franchise.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't really their choice, because they had to. Because, I mean, Spider-Man is a cash cow. Sony knows what it has. And the contract for the rights was going to run out and revert back to Marvel if they didn't put The Amazing Spider-Man into production. So they did, and that's why. And even though it didn't make as much as they had hoped for, that ain't saying much, because it still made money, and they still greenlit a full trilogy. And
right.
You know, so, I mean, and, you know, yeah, that I can see it. The sequel to Amazing Spider-Man is going to make more money than Amazing Spider-Man, and then, you know, people aren't going to be laughing anymore, and they're not going to be questioning it anymore. They'll just be happy that there's another good Spider-Man movie coming.
Who's the villain going to be?
And goddamn it, it won't have Kirsten Dunst in it, and that's a victory as far as I'm concerned.
You know what? I looked at the very first Spider-Man movie again a couple days ago, and Kirsten Dunst doesn't piss me off that much in that movie. I actually like her. It's the same
month ago.
I was a bitch in the second movie. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Oh, she was terrible. Well, I rewatched the whole Spider-Man trilogy a few months ago, and A, it turns out it's not as bad as I remembered it being. They're actually pretty good movies, but now it turns out that Kirsten Dunst is every bit as horrid and bitchy and butt-fucking-ugly as she always was. That snaggletooth bitch. Oh, God. I mean, as long as she didn't talk or open her mouth or smile, she'd have been fine, but, oh, God.
The sequel that I am waiting
for. Apparently not a fan, so.
The sequel that I'm where it comes out in,
but I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure what they're going to do with Gwen Stacy. And hey, Emily, are you listening, Gwen Stacy? I don't know what they're going to do with her in the second. Are they going to kill her off, or are they going to let her make it to the third one? I don't know, but I don't think the actress who played her was anything special. But if they're going to put Mary Jane in the second or third one, I don't care who to get to the character, because anything would be an improvement over Kirsten Dunst. Anything.
But if Gwen Stacy doesn't die in this trilogy, I think that's just going to be a shame.
Well, if she doesn't die in the second one, that just ensures that Brian and his wife won't be going to see that either. So,
I can't take my wife to The Amazing Spider-Man because I can't have her screaming obscenities. I can't have her screaming, "Die, you flaming bitch," at the screen.
And it's cute.
Kind of funny about that.
Because ever since I found out how much the character of Gwen Stacy pisses her off, I've found that it's a trigger word. If I say the name, then I get a reaction. So that's why I had to throw that one in there. Yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do with the sequel to Amazing Spider-Man, but I know I'll be there.
Well, Tim had asked earlier, but what villain do y'all think should do it?
I think it's going to be the next one. I would like to see Mysterio.
That's what people are saying.
I want to see Mysterio, and I want to see Shocker. And yes, I'm fucking serious, so nobody laugh.
I actually like Shocker.
Don't want to see the Vulture. Why? Because the Vulture is fucking lame. The only way to make the Vulture cool is to put the other Sinister Five with him. What does that say? Because he sucks. So I don't really care who they make the villain, not the Vulture. They don't need to do the Green Goblin again. They really don't. Yeah, Mysterio would definitely be my choice for the sequel.
Well, they're going to have to do Green Goblin if they're going to kill her off in the same continuity as the comic books.
Well,
I think that's going to happen too.
Do the Green Goblin. I'm hoping they'll at least wait until the third one, because we just don't need the Green Goblin again. I mean,
I agree.
They did okay, and they just don't need to do them again. You know what? Put the Hobgoblin in it. That would be awesome. I think.
Yeah.
If they don't screw.
And
you know, I'd be cool with the Green Goblin, as long as he's not in Iron Man armor.
I want to see how they would do it this time. But I forgot to ask, put in the news before. What do you guys think of Marvel getting the rights back to Daredevil.
Just fine.
I don't really care one way or the other because, first of all, I'm a huge fan of the Daredevil movie that they did put out, and so is Brian. I liked everything they did with that movie, although I fully acknowledge that the director's cut is a much, much better version of it. But I really like that one, and great, Marvel's got the rights back. Are they going to do anything with it anytime soon? No, but neither was Fox. That's why they got the rights back.
Yeah, I mean, they can't do them. I mean, I don't see them doing a movie with it now because, I mean, their slate is pretty much full. Maybe a television show,
And that would actually work.
What I think a Daredevil television show, I think that would actually work.
If they put it on, like, HBO or something like that, you know, if you're going to do a Daredevil television show.
Yeah, no, don't put it on ABC or anything because, guarantees they'll suck to suck. But, I'd like to see a TV show, especially if they could do it on FX because, well, at least we know it would be edgy and it would be as violent and dark as it really should be.
That's the way it's working. If it's mainstream prime time TV, it's not going to work.
Yeah, it's not going to work, I don't think. Well, maybe they'll eventually get Fantastic Four rights back, too.
Yeah, I've heard that they're either in the process of doing that or they're in the process of trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
That actually might get made.
Yeah, they're gonna make one attempt at that, at least.
Yeah, that one might get made. I don't know. I would love for Marvel to get the rights back to Fantastic Four because I think they are the only ones who could do a Fantastic Four movie justice. So.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. All right.
I would just see a good Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing it.
Man, everybody's cutting out right now.
Yeah. You got anything else, Tim or JD or
no?
Well, if we don't have nothing else, I have a feeling that Ryan and at least Mr. Vance might want to discuss a small movie that opens in 113 days called The Hobbit.
Yes.
Just yesterday on the Twitters, the Click Nation Twitter account, a.k.a. Tim, put out the question, which fall movie are you looking the most forward to? And I had to quote David Mack 90 when he said, just The Hobbit, fuck everything else, just The Hobbit. And I agree. I don't give a damn about anything else that's coming out before the end of the year. I just have to see The Hobbit.
Yeah, I'm looking to it, to say the least. I was surprised to hear that it was going to be made into a trilogy. I guess that was the original intent. My wife is a big fan as well, and she keeps asking the question, how are they making this into three movies? But it's my understanding they're adding a lot of the expanded stuff from the appendixes into this movie.
Yeah, I should say they do not have to make it into a trilogy, but if they want a lot more of the Middle Earth story and legacy and mythos explored, this is the only way that they can really do it because they barely got Peter Jackson back to do The Hobbit.
No kidding.
He's definitely not going to come back for further movies. And let's face it, New Line's not going to sink money into, another duology or trilogy after The Hobbit's over. So
right. The
best thing they can do is beef up what they're doing with The Hobbit now, really give people more of a feel for Middle Earth before they put it to bed. And frankly, when I heard it, this is exactly how I reacted. I don't care why they're doing it. I'm just glad they are. Because we rewatched the extended cuts of the entire trilogy last month, and god damned if those aren't still fucking phenomenal movies. In fact, I think I liked them even better this time than I did the last time I watched them. And now I see the preview for The Hobbit, and I just, it's like a nerdgasm. I can't fucking wait.
Exactly. I share your joy, you know. But yeah, my thing, yeah, that was kind of sort of my reaction when I found out they were going to make a third one. I was definitely like, okay, cool. You know, I'm good with a third one. I really am. I will say that when I first heard they were going to do spread The Hobbit out into two movies, I was kind of like how? Because I've read The Hobbit, and The Hobbit is really not that long of a book,
right?
But I'm like, okay, cool. You know, it's pretty, you know, because it was Guillermo del Toro's directing it first, and I was kind of iffy with that because, you know, I like him. I don't think his style of directing and storytelling lends itself to Middle Earth and Tolkien and all that stuff.
Not at all. You know, in fact, when I heard about Del Toro giving it, I'm like, huh? Why? I mean, he's got an interesting style. And look, I love the Hellboy movies. I love those movies. But I just couldn't see his sensibilities really adding all that much to Middle Earth, but I was like, if that's what they're going to do, you know, I'll go see it. But I also didn't cry when he walked away from it and Peter Jackson said, fuck it, I'll do it anyways.
Right. You know, that's when I really became excited about it when, you know, Peter Jackson said he'll do it. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. Okay. This is what I want. This is how we want it to go. Because, you know, like I said, you know, I mean, Guillermo del Toro, he's a great director. Fantastic. I love all his movies, but I don't think his style and his storytelling is a wee bit too odd, you know, for Middle Earth. You know, he's kind of like Tim Burton, just a little less crazy, you know.
The Hellboy movies, they ain't for everybody. I love them, but let's face it, the audience for that is, well, eccentric, but limited. And Pan's Labyrinth was, man, that was fucking bizarre. I don't even remember anything that happened in it, because when the movie finally ended, all I could say was, what the fuck was that? It was cool looking, but what the fuck? And
that movie, after you see it, it's like, what the fuck just happened to me?
I've been violated.
Right, I've been violated in a good way.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go see it. If Tim's around, we'll probably wind up going to the movies together and watching it.
Tim is not going to see The Hobbit. I already know that.
I'm going to see it. I've saw the other three. I'm not as crazy about it as y'all, but I'll sit through those 3-hour movies again.
But yeah, it's definitely one of those, you know, it's one of those, that's a movie I watch every now and then, or I have to be in the right mood and frame of mind just to go ahead and sit down and watch it.
Right.
But, you know.
Especially the extended edition. I mean, you know, those movies are longer.
How long are those?
Fellowship of the Ring is 3 hours. Two Towers is 3.5 hours. The extended edition and Return of the King is 4.5 hours.
And they are 2.5 hours, 3.5 hours, and 4.5 hours of fucking awesome.
They are fantastic.
Yeah, damn it. We rewatched them all. And with the kids and having to work every day, it took us a few nights to watch them all. But
I bet.
It was incredible watching them again. And all it did was get me giddier and giddier for The Hobbit. I mean, as soon as we finished The Return of the King, we went to the computer and we pulled up the trailer for The Hobbit, and we just watched it a couple of times. And then, I don't know, a couple weeks later, we went to see, we took the kids to see Amazing Spider-Man, and they played The Hobbit trailer, and we just watched and drooled all over ourselves.
Yeah. I did faint like a girl. I'm not going to lie. I did.
In fact, I may have peed myself a little bit, and it was okay with me. And when I go see it in the theater, I'm going to pee myself, damn it. Right. It won't be because I drank a large pop, but that might contribute. I can't fucking wait. I mean, when I said about the casting, when I found out how many people from the Lord of the Rings trilogy were making a return, it was joyous. I'm like,
right.
Galadriel, Elrond, Legolas, Frodo. Saruman. I'm like, I can't. You know, Gandalf. I couldn't wait. I knew that Gandalf was part of the Hobbit, although I never read it. I had never heard that any of the other characters were in it, which I've come to find out they weren't. But
yeah, none of them are. Yeah. Just
add you have to read The Hobbit, JD?
No, I never read it.
What the hell?
An animated movie, and that was interesting.
Have you read Lord of the Rings trilogy?
I read the first two, and I never read Return of the King, but.
You really should read Return of the King.
And you should read The Hobbit. I mean, The Hobbit was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably should. When I saw the animated version, it was only a couple of weeks ago that I watched it for the first time in, 20 years. And Smaug the Dragon shows up, and all I said was, oh, this is going to be much better with Sherlock Holmes doing the voice. So,
right.
But oh God, The Hobbit. I mean, I heard that they were going to extend it into a trilogy, and I'm like, well, that's just about the best news I've ever heard for a movie. And just today, I saw an image from a 16-month calendar that's being released, and it's got a bunch of, it's gorgeous. And I'm like, well, we needed the calendar anyway, so that's the one that I'm going to get. and plus, I really like dwarves. When it comes to fantasy archetypes, dwarves are among my favorite. And this is a whole big group of them, including Gimli's father. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait.
I can't wait. Yeah, I was reading on a website called Major Spoilers where they talked about this, like, you know, does The Hobbit need to be a trilogy? And even they said, it's not like The Silmarillion is going to get a movie ever. So.
Oh, yes. Yeah, The Silmarillion is never going to get made to a movie.
Huh?
So, yeah, The Silmarillion will never get made into a movie. I just don't. I don't think The Silmarillion is filmable. I just don't.
No, but if they throw some elements of it into these movies, then I don't think anybody will complain. Well, somebody will, because some fanboys always got to be bitching about something. But, but you know, somebody's always going to be whining about something that gets their panties in a twist. I mean, there's people that didn't like The Lord of the Rings trilogy, and those people, they're wrong in every sense of the word, fuckers. But you know, I think there were a lot fewer haters than there were people who loved it. So,
you know, but Lord of the Rings, the original Lord of the Rings trilogy is rolling into the fact that the people that hate it is those people who find it cool to hate things that are popular. You know,
yes, exactly.
I don't get up on that. It's like, whatever, dude.
Or they're the people that just can't stand the fact that for narrative purposes, they had to make changes to adapt them into a movie. Well, those people can go fuck themselves, because I would like to see them make a movie of the Lord of the Rings trilogy that's faithful to the books and do better than Peter Jackson did. You know why they won't? Because they can't, because it's not possible. Mm-hmm. Because Peter Jackson's vision of these was just, man, grand, epic. Those words don't even, they don't even compare. I mean, you know, he turned Tolkien's masterpieces into eye candy, pure and simple. And, right. and oh, God, I can't wait to see The Hobbit. Oh, I'm pissed off that we have to wait an extra year to see the second part of it. And I don't even know if there's a release date for the third part yet, but I can't wait.
The third one, I think I remember seeing something. It's the summer of 2014, if I remember correctly.
Oh, all right. So there's only going to be like a 6-month gap between two and three.
Ooh. Right.
Ooh, so I got two movies in 2014 to look forward to. Well, okay, one. One is definitely The Hobbit Part 3 and potentially The Guardians of the Galaxy. Possibly, maybe.
Possibly, maybe.
Though I've never read any of those books, and I have trouble taking it seriously due to the fact that there's Rocket Raccoon. But I'm excited because there is an ent in it. Okay, they don't call him an ent, but he's an ent. He's a giant tree plant that fights. He's an ent, goddammit.
True.
so they might as well call him Treebeard, and I'll be excited. So...
you're talking about
the Galaxy. That might be okay, but oh god, yeah. All right, so 6 months between Hobbit 2 and 3. Oh, fantastic.
Well, you know, at least you got that small of a gap.
Oh god, that's awesome.
Year.
Yeah. See, I was fully expecting that there would be a full year, but oh. Oh, man. Well, there's a lot to look forward to. Tons of Marvel movies and more Middle Earth. I'm good. They don't have to put out any other movies from anybody at all, and I'm good. Those will hold me over. So.
No original creations.
Well, Hollywood stopped doing that anyway. So, yeah.
You know. I know, right? There's no such thing as original creations at all.
If you make it or make a sequel to it, then, well, they just don't put it on film. I really think that if the
cast from the Lord of the Rings trilogy weren't already still, you know, living off their earnings for those, they'll be rolling in cash at this point. So,
especially anyone that did a back end deal or whatever.
Right.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I think Ian McKellen did, if I remember right. You know, so Ian McKellen's probably rolling in dough. You know.
Oh yeah. Well, between that, between playing Gandalf and playing Magneto, I don't know which one's more lucrative, but I do know he's something of a god to the geeks. I mean, that's really, you play Magneto, you play Gandalf. I mean, that's a dream come true. It's like, I mean, he's a Shakespearean actor that's playing these roles that people figured that somebody could never believably play on screen, and he did it and made it look easy.
Next to Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart, you know. Shakespearean actor.
Professor X. So, he's rolling in geek cred there, too. In fact, all they had to do was put him in the Lord of the Rings movies, and even Shakespeare would have gotten up and said, oh, I got to go see that. damn it, why isn't Patrick Stewart in Lord of the Rings now that I think about it? You bald fuck. God damn it! He should have just.
It would have been too much awesomeness, dude. You got Ian McKellen and Christopher Lee in it, so no, you know that might have been too much.
Now that's a good point. You know what would have the Star Wars prequels better is if Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen had been in them. Yes.
True.
And even Christopher Lee, yeah, he was kind of wasted in those. Yeah, he did much better as Saruman. Why? Because he's a huge fan of Tolkien. He said he still reads all the books at least once a year. And I think he's going to be in the Hobbit movies, and I'm happy about that.
Yes. So, yeah, they had to hurry up and get Christopher Lee because, you know, Christopher Lee is actually is up there in age. Like,
yes.
I think Christopher Lee is in 80s.
During the filming of the original Lord of the Rings trilogy, he was saying, he even said in an interview, I won't be at all surprised if I die while they're making these movies. So it's a good thing they're doing them back to back. And here it is. It's 10 years later. Hey, he's still here. I certainly hope they're going to make use of him just in case.
Yeah.
Damn it. Although maybe Christopher Lee is actually immortal and he'll be around long enough for them to make more Lord of the Rings trilogy or more Middle Earth movies in about 20 years. He might still be here. It's possible. Yeah. Medical science. Damn it.
He actually might be Dracula. So, you know.
Christopher Lee actually just turned 90.
Oh, he's 90. Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So,
now he's a day over 80.
Yeah, he's probably Dracula. Actually, he's been, you know, sucking off virgin blood for all these damn centuries.
Well, fuck yeah. I mean, wouldn't you be if you could? Yeah. Well, I don't know. So, Mr. Bamf, I'm guessing you're gonna go see The Hobbit opening night.
Of course.
Are you gonna midnight showing?
I was just about to say, I actually might do a midnight showing, even though I am totally against all midnight viewings of movies. Even before the whole Dark Knight Rises shooting thing, I mean, I don't go to midnight showings because that's like, you know, I'm a geek, and I freely admit that. You go to a midnight showing, that's when, like, the uber geeks come out. These cats that, like, dress up, and it's like, dude, really? Like, have you ever had
Wait a minute. You're saying you're not going to get that you're not going to put elf ears on and wear a cloak to the movie theater?
There are no black elves in Lord of the Rings, so I will not.
They were just off screen, but they were there. There were some dark skinned ones, at least. All right, true. They're the palace people in Middle Earth, but, you know, it. Expanded universe, yeah. You could at least wear a beard and go as a wizard. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. But, no, for me. I'll go normal. I'll enjoy. I'll be with a bunch of Hobbit fans, Lord of the Rings fans, and, you know, we'll all commune and laugh and giggle and cry together.
Yeah, well, you'll walk into the theater and say, "Evening, bitches, you can start the movie now." They will. They'll start it right then and there. If they have any sense, they will. I mean, last time I went to a midnight showing was Revenge of the Sith, and let me tell you, that was not worth going to a midnight showing. That may not have been worth seeing. I don't know. But it's my least favorite of the prequels, but I'm not going to get into that.
That's a whole other show unto itself.
I can't imagine that we'll have... frankly, I think I'm too old to go see midnight showings in terms of... I don't think I'll make it, but we might actually consider it. I don't know, maybe not, because at that point she'll be 7 months pregnant, and I'm not really sure that's going to work, means we'll probably just take the day off from work and go see the first showing in the morning.
Yeah, I was just about to say, this movie is probably going to be about three and a half hours long, and I don't want to do that at midnight. That's the main reason I didn't go see Dark Knight Rises at midnight, so...
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't think I want to be driving home at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Getting out the movies at 2 after 2 o'clock for Avengers was hard for me.
Yeah, especially for those that have to get up in the morning and go to work.
I wasn't going to attempt that. But yeah, for this one, opening day, definitely midnight showing, unlikely. Shake the eight ball and it says, not at this time, and later, but yeah, that's definitely going to be, an opening day thing.
That is definitely an opening day. Go back Saturday to see it again thing.
I do predict that we will probably go see it twice in the theater, which is something that, again, I can't really do that very often. The last time I saw something twice in the theater was X-Men First Class. And then the time before that was that Star Trek 2009 movie, which I saw three times. But The Lord of the Rings is more than worthy to be on that list. All three and a half hours of it, so.
Right.
But honestly, really, the movie can be 6 hours long, and I'll be okay with that. I'll just have to take bathroom breaks, I'm pretty sure. I can't wait. I may have to order that 16-month calendar, but payday, hurry up, you bastard. I mean, just last week, I ordered a map of Middle Earth so that we could frame it and hang it on the wall in the dining room. Yes.
That sounds like an idea. I had to look for one of those.
Matted in frame, sir.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to have to do that. That sounds like a plan.
Is there anything else besides... Was it Lord of the Rings and Hobbit?
I think that's it for me.
I can't form sentences. might be good. Brian, are you still there, mister?
Yeah.
Okay. You haven't said anything in like a half an hour, so I was just checking.
I can't get a word around you, man.
Well,
that's why I sit back in the cut.
That's something to do with it, but I thought maybe Skype had just kicked you off or something. Skype seems to be a real bitch tonight.
I see that.
Yeah, well, more so than usual.
I say, so I think this might be a good ending point.
I would think so, sir.
Yes, because I don't see the talking, making sentence things happening. Fuck.
And having to work in the morning part two.
Yeah. Small details, Tim. Small details.
But thanks for having us on tonight.
Well, thanks for being on the show. This was fucking awesome. I definitely want you guys to come back on the show again at some point. In fact, I have an idea. How about after we all go see The Hobbit, how about if you guys come back on the show so we can have like a discussion that lasts almost as long as the movie?
I'm about to say, I'd be down for that.
That might be
cool.
Because, I was going to say, that will be epic. Not nearly as epic as the movie, but we can try. But, yes, thank you. Thank you, Click Nation, for joining us here on General Geekery. It's been quite an honor.
And for everyone listening to this on the Click Nation podcast, make sure you check out the General Geekery podcast.
Yes. I really wish we had a blog to plug, but yeah, we don't have one of those. We just sort of post it on Buzzsprout and post it on Twitter and Facebook.
Hey, as long as it works.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show.
Y'all have a good night, okay?
All right, you too. And I'll pass the audio on to y'all so y'all have it also.
Yeah,
okay, cool. Maybe we'll put it up this weekend and And this way, because I know you guys do fancy things like edit your show, so that takes some time.
I mean, we just throw break music on and intro and outro music.
It'll be interesting to hear this with the familiar Click Nation opening cue with the yo yuck mouth teeth and all that. I don't know what is that from. What is that from? It cracks me up every time I hear it.
It's from a Boondocks cartoon show on Cartoon Network.
Oh, is it? Yeah, because I hear every time she starts saying this was no movie, I'm like, ooh, Click Nation podcast.
Yep.
So
yes.
Boom. Thanks again. Thanks for having us.
Yes, indeed.
All right, guys.
I hope you all have a good night and don't have too much trouble getting up from work. I thought for sure I was going to be tired when this was done, but crap, second wind.
Enjoy your second wind, JD.
Yeah. But, all right. Night, y'all.
Holla.
Later.
Take care. See ya.
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay-ass accent, them cheap-ass cigars, your yuck-mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Coming to green, but then you're never walking out again. Until you're back on the walk back.